It's Flo, and this is my impression of a drill instructor directing a musical.
Tan Hut! Get those tap heels in line and let me see those jazz hands! Are you bundling your home and auto insurance through Progressive? Can you hear me through those sequins?
Bundle your home and auto through Progressive and save.
Left, 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 and step ball change.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company Affiliates. Home insurance provided and serviced by other select insurers.
This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Our trails now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path,
Blessed Trails. I am your host, Belinda Gale, and our show features interviews with wonderful guests, as well as gospel and patriotic music, and songs that just plain lift your heart, most all of them with a definite Western flair. Our guest today is very accomplished in several areas of her life and a precious friend. I'm looking forward to getting to know her even better, and also look forward to sharing her and her music with all of you in this next hour. But before we bring her on, let's listen to her rendition of In the Garden.
I come to the garden. Falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share. We tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing, and He walks with me, and He talks with me. and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks. And he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other.
Lovely. I am so tickled to have our guest today on the show. She is a former music teacher, obviously has a beautiful voice, a wonderful historian, a former touring artist with the Texas Commission on the Arts, a recipient of the West Quest Award, in addition to being nominated by both the Western Music Association and the Academy of Western Artists for Female Performer of the Year. And in 2013, she was voted by the Western Music Association as DJ of the Year, as well as her radio show Western Jubilee being chosen as Show of the Year. And she is up for both of these awards again this year. And if all that doesn't keep her busy enough, she is constantly working with young people and volunteering her time in both her hometown of Weatherford, Texas, and in our Western music community. She is an amazing lady I admire deeply, and I am thrilled to welcome to the show Judy James. Welcome, Judy.
Well, thank you, Belinda. It's a pleasure to be on, and congratulations on your show. I know this is a dream of yours for a long time, and I'm so glad it's come to fruition, and thanks to Gary for helping to make it possible.
Yes, if it wasn't for Gary, it would not be happening. That's for doggone sure. You know how terrified I was of all the technology and all of the things that went into putting a radio show together. And I tell you what, this is so fun to have the tables turned that I get to interview you instead of you interviewing me. This is really
fun. We've done a lot of that, haven't we?
We have, but you know what? You have allowed me to guest on your radio show, to kind of guest host, and I think that really helped me. I know it did. It really helped me become a little more comfortable in that position, you know, to be able to not be so fearful of the whole radio thing. So this is partially your doing as well, Judy, for me to have this show.
Well, I'm glad you're doing it. I really am. It's so needed.
Thank you, sweetie. I appreciate that. Well, you know what? I have known you for a lot of years now, and I've stayed in your home, and we've become really good friends. You and I and Pam have had so much fun together. But you know what? I've realized as I was putting this show together, there's a lot about like your childhood and your early life pre-Western music that I don't know about. So I'm gonna dig in, and we're gonna talk about that if that's okay.
Well, sure. Have at it.
Okay. So first of all, you know, where did you grow up and what did your childhood look like?
I was born in Hamilton, Texas, which is a small town about, it's between Brownwood and Waco, if that fits it into your area or if you understand where those two places are, south of Stephenville, south of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And then quickly we moved to the Panhandle, and I spent most of my years growing up in the Panhandle. And, of course, you know, it was so important for family back then, you know, how important that was that we all stayed together. We did things together, and we sang together, we played together, and family was very, very important. And then it came time to go to college, and I went to Abilene, to McMurray which is now McMurray University. You know, everything went from a college to a university. And then I began my teaching career, and that's the short of it.
Well, that's really short. So now, did you grow up in town? Did you grow up on a ranch? You know, what did that look like?
Right. Well, I grew up in town. My family had a ranch and had some other land here and there. And my grandmother was hugely important in my life, my father's mother. And we did have a ranch. It mainly was one that was leased pasture. And she was always so concerned about, oh, we don't have enough rain. Oh, we have plenty of rain. Or, oh, we have too much rain. You know, as you know how that goes. She also mm-hmm. was a director at a bank, so she knew that aspect of it. And but I did grow up in town, but with varying interest in the agriculture community. My father would rather be on a horse than anything, and as a result, he went to New Mexico Military Institute so he could ride horses his senior year in high school and then his
wow.
first year in college. So, you know, that's always been important and always been emphasized to me how important that is. But, yes, mm-hmm. I grew up in town, but loving that community and the Western heritage and the Western way of life.
Yeah, especially in Texas, I think that's prevalent in most of the communities, whether it's an agricultural community or not. There's just that feeling of that just seems to permeate all through Texas.
Oh, I think you're
just
right.
An affinity with agriculture and the land and all of that. Now, did your family go to church as a rule? Did you grow up going to church? I didn't.
I didn't either. No, my grandmother, as I said, was very important in my life, and she went to church all the time. But mm-hmm. My parents didn't. They would take me, and I would go to Sunday school and church. But it wasn't a family thing that we did together until I went to live with my grandmother when my parents died. So it wasn't, you know, wasn't the thing to do. It wasn't an expected thing to do. It was, I guess it was a choice, which is maybe even better. I don't know. But anyway, no, I didn't
yes.
have that in my family, my life.
Okay, so I didn't realize that you had lost your folks at a young age and that you went to live with your grandmother. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. My father died of a heart attack my junior year in high school, and then the first month of my senior year, my mother died of cancer. So that was within 6 months of each other. And so fortunately, at the age of 72, my grandmother welcomed into her home a high school senior and a boy of 10, my younger brother. And she did an amazing job. But I'm thinking at 72, when I get there, I don't think I'd want to have two kids come live with me. But that was just what she did. And she handled it, you know, with all grace.
Oh, wow. And so then that's when going to church and just a relationship with the Lord entered your life on a more
yes.
ongoing basis, it
yes.
sounds like.
It was. And also, though, I would go visit her in the summers, and I would go to church camp. And I remember when I was in the sixth grade in visiting her and going to church camp that I came home and told her I wanted to go into the mission field. Little did I know the mission field was the classroom and probably one of the greatest mission fields there is. That started back then. I knew I wanted to be a teacher at that time or missions of some sort.
Of some sort. So now I know I love asking guests, especially when I have them on for the first time, I love asking them. I know for me, there was a point, like I said, I didn't really grow up in church. I would go a little bit with my aunt to church on like Christmas and, you know, Easter and that kind of thing, but didn't really go to church. And, you know, it was a big epiphany for me to realize that God was not just that God that was out there, you know, omniscient everywhere God that was, you know, looking over your shoulder, waiting to, you know, bop you on the head if you did something wrong, you know, was really this very intimate, you know, daddy God that you could crawl up in his lap and talk to him and, you know, bare your soul and talk to him about your problems. And that the epiphany that he was a very loving, very intimate Lord was a big deal for me in my life. Did you have an epiphany like that, or was it just a gradual thing? How did that happen for you? Because I know you love the Lord deeply. We've talked about that.
Right. I think probably camp was the beginning of it, and then going to college, that was really important. Well, I don't know if there was a time. I can't really point to a time, but it was increasing more and more as I would go to college, because I went to a Methodist school. And, of course, you can find all kind of things at church schools, I know. But still, you know, there was that time that, you know, it was so neat to visit with other people and to grow closer to God and to Christ and to that way of life. And then after I graduated from college, I went to work as a youth director, and that was very important and very rewarding, I guess, to say the least.
That sounds like. Now, where did your love of music come from? You said your family sang together. Is that where that was born and
yes.
the reason you pursued that as
yes.
a career?
It was. And then also, I remember in the fifth grade, we were going to have the opportunity to try out for choir. And everybody who wanted to try out for choir stayed in the music classroom, and everybody else went back to the classroom. And I don't know why for this, but I never will forget this teacher. I went back to the classroom thinking, well, I'm not good enough to be in choir. And she said, what are you doing in here? And I said, well, she said, everybody who didn't want to be in choir to come back. And she said, you get right back down there and try out for choir. So it was that teacher, I think, that said, oh, you need to do this. And there again, teachers have been so important in my life. And my favorite teacher was a high school choir director, and he was immeasurable in my life. He was he hung the moon. I don't know if you know that or not, but there was a choir director that hung the moon.
He hung the moon. You met the guy that hung the moon.
He
you got to touch it under
his He was my choir director. That's exactly right. Absolutely.
Whoa. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to go into a song now. And this is, I believe this is one that that Dale Evans wrote. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yes. And let me say a little bit about In the Garden, and this next one, the Bible tells me so. That
sure.
When I did my most recent recording, I wanted my family to be on it. As I said, they have always sung. My family consists of my brother, and he has two girls and a son. And his girls were both in choir all the way growing up, and his son was too. And they weren't professional singers, but they were very good singers. And their kids, they've given them the love of singing. And I wanted them to be on this for several reasons. One, I wanted them to know what it was like to be in a recording studio, because, as you know, that's totally different from what you expect. It's totally different
it
from what you see on TV. And I wanted them to have that experience. And then I just wanted to share some of my family's favorite songs with them. And In the Garden was my mother's favorite song. And, of course, with Rich O'Brien, with whom you've worked, you know what a master he is on guitar. And
absolutely.
They all sang on In the Garden, and on this next song, The Bible Tells Me So, they sang too. And also, you know, through the miracles of all the software and technology available now, voices can be tweaked and changed and you know, do all kinds of things with voices that are recorded. But we didn't want to do that with these young voices, and this is exactly the way they sang it. And I'm so proud of them, and I'm so proud of this song, The Bible Tells Me For. So, as you said, it was written by a Texan, Frances Octavia Smith, whom we know as Dale Evans. And
yes.
It was one of her little ditty songs. And I asked Cheryl, I believe you've had her on recently. Cheryl
yes.
if she knew why or where this song was written. And she said that they had a show on the Happy Trails Roy Rogers show that was about a Sunday school teacher. So she went off and wrote this song and came back in about 30 minutes. And then we have The Bible Tells Me So. So that's that history
that
on that song.
Didn't she do the same
that's
thing
right.
with Happy Trails? They decided they needed a little theme song.
Yes.
So she went off and took about
exactly.
20 minutes and whipped it out and came back.
Exactly.
Yeah, people don't realize
exactly.
what a wonderful little songwriter she was. Absolutely. And well,
you know,
let's listen to your go ahead.
No, that's okay. We can talk about that some other time. That's fine. I was just going to talk a little bit more about Dale, but that's all right.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. We have time. Go ahead.
Well, Cheryl, we were talking with her the first time I met her out in Arizona. She said that Cheryl wrote lots of songs, but it was under a man's name. And I said, really? What was his name? She says, I don't know. So there's so many Dale Evans songs that have been lost because nobody knows what name she used for those songs. But she was a very accomplished songwriter, yes. Including
no
The
idea.
Bible Tells Me So.
And we're going to listen to it right now. The Bible Tells Me So.
All right.
Have faith, hope, and charity. That's the way to live successfully. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Do good to your enemies, and the blessed Lord you'll surely please. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. Don't worry about tomorrow, just be real good today. The Lord is right beside you, He'll guide you all the way. Have faith, hope, and charity. That's the way to live successfully. How do I know? The Bible tells me so.
Sisters and then an older cousin of the twins, and so it was all four of them together along with all the adults.
Oh.
it was great fun.
Well, that's so neat. Well, now you told us that, you know, you went off to college, which became a university. At what point did you know that you wanted to teach?
In the sixth grade, as I was saying earlier, I felt like I wanted to go in the mission field. But as time went on, when I was a junior in high school, I made the All-State Choir, and I was shocked that I made that because my self-esteem wasn't very huge at the time. And I thought, well, I've got to do something with this because I know without a doubt that God had his hand in my making All-State Choir, because there were so many things that happened just with the audition that it couldn't have happened without his willingness for me to do that and his making it happen, because I was in the wrong place and I knew I needed to get to another place and found out where I needed to go, and result, I made All-State Choir. And I wanted to give back, and I there again thought, well, I need to go in the mission field, or I needed to be a church choir director. But the more I looked around, at that time, amazingly enough, up in the panhandle, there were only two women in the whole panhandle who were choir directors. Everybody else was a man. So that was not something that women would do. But I really wanted to do that, and I felt like that's what I needed to do. So when I went to McMurray, I majored in music with the thought of being a choir director. So that's how I ended up and did that for 30 years.
Wow. Did you have trouble because of being a woman? Did you run into any roadblocks as far as getting a job, or were you hired pretty readily?
Well, not. I don't think it was because of a woman being a woman, but I was hired in Mesquite, and that was really a fun time. You know, it was right there on the edge of Dallas, and it mm-hmm. wasn't an area that. It was a bedroom community for sure. It wasn't a town. There was a square mm-hmm. and there were stores downtown, but it wasn't a town itself. It was a bedroom community. Mm-hmm. But that made it possible for me to meet other people and then come to Weatherford, which is much more of a community in itself. But
right.
no, it really right. didn't, being a woman really didn't affect me by that time, because that was 5 years later and there were more women quadratures by that time. So I never knew any kind of difference in that regard.
Yes.
But it was something that I really treasured because of having the opportunity to share my love of music with young people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would imagine that you had an opportunity to influence other young people's lives just like yours was. By your choir.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yes. And I wouldn't trade for those experiences, and I wouldn't trade for the young people that I've met, through the years and watching their lives change. Many of them are choir directors. Many of them are music teachers. And I'm not saying it was because of me. I don't mean that at all. But nonetheless, they have. I was able to stand there and watch them, and that was just a great pleasure. It's something I'll always treasure.
Do you have any favorite, incident? I know some teachers are friends of mine, and they have some really funny stories and some really poignant stories. Do you have any teacher stories that you'd be willing to share with us that you can think of?
Well, what came to my mind first when I saw that topic on the storyline or the show lineup that you sent, I was thinking about a young man who's had several older brothers and sisters, and no one in his family had gone to high school. I mean, had gone to college or anywhere beyond college. And he always said he was going to be the first to do that. And I believed him. And we worked with him, and he worked, and he was in choir for sixth grade on through his senior year. He is now has his doctorate and is a preacher down in the Houston area. And I really believe
wow.
choir made a difference in his life. Not me, not anybody, but choir gave him something to belong to. And that's what choir does. That's what band does. That's what athletics do. So many people say we don't need athletics. Oh, but we do. Even if they don't go on to have, become a coach or whatever, having that responsibility and having the time when you have to have somebody else depend on you makes a difference. It makes a major difference mm-hmm. in young people's lives. I'm sorry, don't mean to get preachy, but it really does. If you
have ownership in your school,
it makes a difference.
I agree completely. And it just, that community and having something to belong to, that's when you don't have sports, when you don't have choir, when you don't have these various clubs and opportunities for kids to come together with another community of kids who believe in and are drawn to the same things, then they're going to find some kind of community of kids somewhere, and it might not be a good thing. So if they don't provide them with healthy, wholesome groups that they can align themselves with, then they will find something else that's not so good. So yeah, people just don't understand it. They just crunch the numbers, and they don't think about
yes.
what this is actually translating to in the classroom. So,
right.
Oh my gosh. Well, I can imagine that you also had your challenges as a teacher, and your kids you really had to work with and help to guide and get them on track. And so, how did your faith come to play with that, with working with these kids?
Well, teaching in Mesquite, I taught young kids, and it really wasn't a major deal. But as I came over here and started here in Weatherford and started teaching your older kids. There again, I taught sixth grade through high school, and also taught college voice, and I also taught elementary school. I went to Grammett. People said, "What did you teach?" And I said, "First grade through college," but not at the same time. But you know, there were so many different personalities, and you know, just have an eye on your vision, an eye on where you're going and why you're doing this, I think is the main thing. It certainly did make a difference. And when I started teaching, and even several years after that, prayer in the classroom had not been removed. And of course, I don't think that it even has today, because you can pray in the classroom, you can pray anywhere. You just may not do it verbally. And I'm not sure all that's a bad thing, because that means that you can pray your way and I can pray my way, and we don't, you know, that's good. But I would say, as they would leave on Friday, I'd say, "Have a great weekend and don't forget church on Sunday." And that was one way I was able to do that without being preachy. And, of course, before every concert, we would have a prayer. We had a chaplain back then, and we'd have a prayer beforehand. And so I think they knew where I stood, and that made a difference, I believe.
Oh, it did. And as you mentioned earlier, you really looked at that. That was your mission field. That was the mission field that the Lord called you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I strongly believe that.
Oh, yes, I could tell. I could tell that. And I would imagine that some of these children came from homes where there was no church, there was no mention of God. And so at the very least, you planted seeds and made them aware that it's out there and it's a good thing. You know, it's a wonderful thing. It's not like, you know, when I was a child, thinking that God was this big, bad guy that was going to, you know, get you if you screwed up.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Oh, well, we're going to do another song now. Can you tell us about Rounded Up in Glory and why you chose that song to sing?
I love that song. I always have. And, of course, everybody just about has recorded it. And it was one of those songs that was collected by John Lomax. He went around everywhere and collected cowboy songs. And in 1910, put it together in a book, Cowboy Songs and Other Frontier Ballads. And after I found out about that song and about John Lomax, I found out that he taught in college right here in Weatherford in 1889, and I thought that was rather interesting. And so I didn't even find out more about that gentleman. But anyway, John Lomax was great for writing down songs. And in my school shows, I talk about how writing is so important, because if we don't write it down, we don't know, and people in the future don't know what happened. It may not be important to us at the time, but it may become important. Therefore, you need to keep your diaries. You need to write down things. And I talk more about things that we found out because somebody wrote it down, and how writing is important, even today for all of us. But Rounded Up in Glory is a song that John Lomax collected. And there again, just about everybody has sung or recorded it, but special meaning to me. And I did it a cappella and with a good friend of mine singing the harmony. So here's Rounded Up in Glory.
Absolutely. Let's
listen
to it right now.
I've been thinking today as my thoughts begin to stray of your memory to me worth more than gold. As you ride across the plain mid the sunshine and the rain, you'll be rounded up in glory by and by. You'll be rounded up in glory by and by. You'll be rounded up in glory by and by. When the milling time is o'er and you will stampede no more, when he rounds you up within the master's fold. As you ride across the plain with the cowboys that have fame, and the storms and the lightning flash by, we shall meet to part no more upon the the golden shore, when he rounds us up in glory by and by. You'll be rounded up in glory by and by. You'll be rounded up in glory by and by. When the milling time is o'er and you will stampede no more, when he rounds you up within the Master's fold, may we lift our voice on high to that sweet by and by, and be known by the brand of the Lord. For his property we are, and he will know us from afar, when he rounds us up in glory by and by. We'll be when he rounds us up within the Master's fold.
Oh, Judy, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
That's just beautiful. I thought you were singing the harmonies on that.
No, I'm not. A friend of mine did that. She has a more of a soprano voice than I, and so she was able to float around up there.
And she definitely floated. That was beautiful.
Yes, she did.
That was beautiful.
Yes, she did.
Oh, my
yes, she
goodness.
Did.
So now, at what point did you decide to retire and completely do a big shift in your life?
Well, as a choir director, I always thought it was important to have a map in my classroom. And I was basically scoffed at by the administrators a lot of times, but I thought it was important to learn more about the songs that you sing and make them have a little bit of life. And if it was a story, I thought it was important to share the story. If it was geography, I thought it was important to share the geography. So I always had a map in my classroom. And when I was looking at retirement, I was planning to retire in 1999. Well, some friends of ours went on a trip, and we were talking about it on the way back from the trip. We said, what are we going to do when we retire? And I decided what I really wanted to do was to follow my passion, which was history. As a child, I would devour every new biography that came into the library. I loved to read, and I loved to read biographies. So that really was something that was so important to me. And, of course, I grew up with Roy and Dale and Jean, and just like everybody else in my generation. And we watched that on TV. We listened to it on the radio, although not so much that, but more TV. Mm-hmm. And I love the stories, and I never did understand why there was a Jeep out there, but that's another story for another time. Anyway, I would devour those, and I love the Western heritage. And there again, as you referred to earlier, with my father and with the ranch that we had, I thought all that was so important. And I love the cowboy music. And so I decided that's what I really wanted to do, was to sing. And so for 4 years before my retirement, that's what I did. I learned songs. And I had learned to play the guitar, I guess, as a freshman in college. But I worked on it more and more and became more comfortable with the instrument. You know, guitar is something that you can pick up for 1 hour and learn to play songs and or spend the rest of your life learning to perfect it, as you know, because I have had the pleasure of witnessing your growth through the guitar. But it's an amazing instrument, and it's so much fun to play. And so that's what I decided I wanted to do. So in actually, I guess it was 94, a friend here said, Judy, I want you to sing on this concert that's coming up, and it's a retirement concert for a gentleman in our community. And I said, I don't have time, and I don't know any songs. He says, I want you to do that. Well, he continued on until he sort of badgered me into it, and I have thanked him profusely ever since then. And so that's when I first started singing on a concert in 94. But I felt like what I wanted to sing was the music of our land, our heritage, and perpetuate that, because if we don't, if we miss a generation, it's gone. And we can't afford to miss a generation, because our history is so important. The cowboy is so important because of his work ethic and his, you know, his faith. He may not go to church all the time, but you can't tell me that cowboys didn't have faith. They were taught too well by their mothers, for one thing. Plus, you know, they just knew what was the right thing to do. And I think it is so important to perpetuate that. So that's when I decided to start singing that. And I learned more and more songs. My first concert, it was a gathering here in the North Texas area near Abilene, actually. And I knew three songs. And I thought, well, that's probably enough, at least, to do that. Well, I didn't know they were going to keep having me come back, and so I sang those same three songs over and over again. But since then, I've learned a few more than those three songs, and it's just been a pleasure to continue to grow. Pardon?
Oh, I just said, yes, you have. You know a lot more than three songs.
That story.
Oh, my gosh.
And well, then in 97... a lady who owns the radio station here called me one day out of the blue and said, have you ever thought about doing a radio show? And I said, no. And she said, well, why don't you think about it? And I said, well, what do you have in mind? Well, we talked. And so in 97, in June, the second Saturday of June in 97, I began doing a local radio show. And that's grown. And it's just been so much fun, and meeting people like you and so many others, and having them on and talking with them more and more. And so that started in 97.
Oh, my. I didn't realize that history.
You've
been doing it. That's a long. I had no idea you've been doing it that long. Wow. That's pretty.
You'd think
I know
it right
my husband,
by now, wouldn't you?
I think you've got it nailed, girlfriend. I think you've got it down. Oh, gosh. And I know I love on Saturday mornings go walking by my husband's office, and he's in there working, but he has you on listening to your radio show in the mornings. It's so cool. With the
all the way to Arizona.
Yes. And didn't you have a fun story when we were in Texas at he used to judge the big national competition for equestrian and drill, the Texas, and he called was listening to your show, and do you remember that story?
Yes, I do.
Want to relate that?
We were here in Weatherford, and I got this call from Tyler, Texas. Well, that's all the way on the other side of Dallas. It's about an hour or more on the other side of Dallas, so that makes it about 2 hours from here. And I got a call from Tyler, Texas, will you play Belinda Gales? And I believe it was, help me with the song. You know the song. Anyway, one of your songs.
One of those, yeah.
Yes, He's Court Nanny. That was it. He's Court Nanny. And I said, sure. So I played it. And I said, where are you calling from? He said, Tyler. And I said, really? I couldn't believe it. We were getting all the way over to Tyler, because sometimes we don't even get to into Fort Worth if the conditions aren't just right. So I guess they skipped over and the waves landed over there in Tyler. But that was amazing that we got that far. And then come to find out later that it was your Bob that was calling in.
Oh, no.
But I was amazed that he got that.
That was the neatest story. And then he's all excited because he's got this radio station, and he called in and you played my music and you were familiar with it. And then when he told me who it was, I'm like, of course. it's fun how things like that just kind of happen. It's so cool.
Well, it is. And what's so fun is that, as you know, people all over the world can listen to our music. I've gotten emails from virtually all over the world. One time I was at the radio station, and the show right after us was one of a book review, and there was a gentleman waiting for the show, and the host wasn't there yet, so we were making small talk, and And come to find out that he was from Germany, and he listened to Cowboy Jubilee in Germany. So
you just
never know where people are listening. Tyler, Texas, or Germany, or wherever.
Yes, all over the place.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, well, I'd like to switch gears right now because there's something that I'd really love for us to touch on and talk about a little bit. And the whole time I have known you, it's always been Judy and Pam. Judy and Pam, Judy and Pam, Judy and Pam. And you guys are just, you know, Tweedledee and Tweedledum. You guys just do everything together. And I know that she works really, really. She's your Gary just about for your radio show. I mean, she is working there just as hard as you. But
yeah, she runs
the
computer. She sure does.
And I never really understood y'all's relationship until I was able to kind of come stay with you guys. And I was so touched by what brought you guys together and this wonderful sisterhood that you share and this life that you guys are sharing as just deep, deep, precious friends. And I think it would be a really uplifting thing for our listeners to hear. So can you tell us a little bit how you and Pam became Judy and Pam?
Well, I taught Pam's son back in the late 70s. He was in choir here and, great young man and enjoyed him so much. And of course, you know, you get to know the parents and everything. And Pam and I went to church together. And when Clay, her son, went off to college, we still did a whole lot of things together, but because Pam had some health problems, it was just her and her dad. Well, his room was way on the opposite side of the house. And so I have a 2-bedroom house and we just thought it would be a good idea if she moved in here so that, you know, if she had any health problems in the night or anything happened, that there would be somebody with her. And then she decided it would be best for her not to drive anymore because of her health condition. So needed somebody to drive, and we were usually going the same place. So there you have it. So with a 2-bedroom house and conditions as they are, we do a lot of things together. In fact, most everything together, because that's where our interests are. And her dad has had a ranch here right outside of town, and he raised Kenina cattle. And he was one of the very first to raise Kenina in the United States. So she certainly had a great understanding of the Western lifestyle and the importance of, you know, doing things properly on the ranch. And they didn't live there, but they were out there all the time. And for a while, she worked with him and, you know, did everything from artificial insemination to vaccinations to, well, just everything, as well as work the books. So that was always fun to find out more about all that. But that's how we got to doing things together, because of a need and because of similar thing, you know, interest in life.
Well, it's just so fun to see you guys together and to see how much you all are on the same page on so many areas of your life and the things that you love to do. And both are passionate about history. Both are passionate about, you know, Weatherford's history. And I mean, it's amazing the rich heritage that's kind of centered in that area where y'all live. And you and Pam work tirelessly with the Doss Center that's there. That's a wonderful museum/event place that's there right in Weatherford. And I love the work that you guys are doing there.
Yes, we've really enjoyed that. They asked us after we wrote a book, she and I wrote a book on, well, we wrote the part about Oliver Loving and Charles Goodnight, and another lady wrote a part about Bo Zachert. And if you've seen Lonesome Dove, you know those three characters as Gus, McCaw, and Dietz, and that was Oliver Loving, Charles Goodnight, and Bo Zachert. And so we wrote that book, and there again, Pam, having her background in, she also did a whole lot with Girl Scouting, and having that background, she would say, well, no, that's a little bit too formal, you know, don't be the teacher, just be more lighthearted and all that. And we started doing a camp, and we wrote the manual, and there again, she brought in the fun camp side of what we were doing, as well as me bringing in the scholastic side, as it were, the academic side of mm-hmm. camping. So it's really been a great mix, and it's been a lot of fun to do that. And I won't forget all those opportunities that we've been able to teach young people and help them see the light and just see the, you know, the light bulbs go off in their head.
Yes.
They were seeing our history and realizing, you know, now wait a minute, what do you mean I can only take 2,000 pounds on this wagon? I don't understand why. Well, here's
much.
The reason, you know, and this is how they came to our area. So mm-hmm. it's been really fun, and the Doss is a great place. And if you're ever in our area, I know you've been here several times, but when Gary comes, we need to make sure that he goes to the Doss Center. And they're
yes.
now in the process of bringing in log cabins from Parker County. And they're going to have a place just for those cabins, which is really going to be an opportunity. And it's going to be so much fun, and it's been great just seeing all that begin. And when it comes to fruition, we'll all benefit.
Oh, it's going to be wonderful. And I know I was there. You were very gracious to bring me in for the concert series called the Log Cabin Series that I guess you all are going to do again next year as a fundraiser to fund bringing these cabins in, because a lot of those historic ranches have been very generous with giving you all these wonderful old cabins, the homestead cabins or whatever, off of the ranches. But then there's a great expense to get them from the ranches to the Doss Center to set up your log cabin village. And so that's what all of that is, you know, the whole concert series is to help fund that. And it's just
absolutely.
And I know that you and Pam work tirelessly to help with the fundraising efforts and to make all this happen. And it's just admire you both so much. Just wonderful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's really fun. And it gives us something to do to keep us from being bored. That's not anything that's in our vocabulary, being bored.
I was going to say,
that's
I can't
sure.
imagine, y'all, every time I've been around y'all, you have your schedule is jam-packed from morning till night. I can't imagine. You guys just kind of sit down and catch your breath, and then you're off to the races again.
They were off.
You guys
that's
are,
right. They
you're
were
amazing.
Off.
You're amazing. I just love you both so much.
Well,
we're
thank
getting,
you.
This is one of my favorite songs that you're getting ready to sing here. And if I remember correctly, this is a Larry McWhorter song, isn't it?
It's a Gary Felgard song.
Gary Felgard,
Gene recorded,
right.
Yeah, Gene recorded on her Tapestry album, and there were some Larry McWhorter songs on there. But the song was written by Gary Felgard. He's a Canadian, and I heard him sing it. No, actually, I heard Gene sing it first, and then I've heard Gary sing it. And it's just a great song, and always enjoy that. And I think it speaks so much about our heritage and everything we're talking about today.
Just like the faith of the cowboy.
Absolutely.
That
absolutely
simple, deep faith that cowboys have in the Lord. So let's listen to her version of Reins of Glory.
From the valley, high above the fields and the fences, just to watch the storm clouds gather and see the lightning when it dances on those wild and windy ranges, through the ghost of unshod horses, my faith in my pony to carry me while I hold the reins of glory in my hand. In my cold white waters laughing through the canyon, hear the whisper of the evergreen, could it be the master calling? I sing the songs of freedom to the rhythm of the saddle, my faith in my pony to carry me while I hold the reins of glory in my hand, in my hold the reins of glory in my hand. forever. There's a peace that comes from the silence. The faintest trail is all I ever need. I just follow in the footsteps of the one who came before me, and he has touched everything I see. In my hand, in my
such a great song. You do a beautiful job on it, Judy.
It is a good song, isn't it?
I love it. Melodically, it's so interesting to me melodically, and as well as the lyrics. And so you just do a wonderful job. And I cannot believe how fast this hour has gone by. Holy cow.
It is a fast hour.
It just
absolutely.
Flew. Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Judy. And I know that you're really, really busy, and you squeezed me in between appointments that you had this morning. And so thank you. Thank you so much for doing that. And just love you both.
For...
Give my best to Miss Pam. And And before we let you go, though, I do want you to let people know where they can listen to your website, where they can get your music if they want to bring you in for some event and have you come perform for them. You do a great job. And oh, my goodness, you know, to groups that really want history behind the music, you just do a phenomenal job on presenting the music with the history and the stories behind it. It's just amazing what you do with that and your radio show. So just let everybody know how they can get in touch with you and hear what you do.
Well, thank you, Belinda. The radio show is on every Saturday morning, 7:30 to 9:30 Texas time. And you can hear that streaming most of the time when the squirrels are working. You know how that goes. That's on qxfm.com, and you go to Listen Live, and then you'll find us there. Also, we are on all the time, 24/7, on Western Heritage Radio, and that is found by going to judyjamesradio.com. And if you click on that, then that opens up and you can click on the show, and there you have it. You can have it on your computer anytime you want to, and it features a lot of people like Belinda Gale and some of our other great favorites. It's there's a 16-hour playlist, so you know that there's a lot of people on there, and all of them Western, all of them perpetuating the Western way of life. So those are those two, and then I have another one that talks about another website that talks about my music, and that's judyjames.com. So I have several options there for you.
Yeah, you can just find Judy all over the web. You can just find
her
right,
everywhere. All over, at least two places anyway.
You certainly can. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Judy. And before we let you go, we're going to close your portion of the show with a song you do a really beautiful job on called A Living Prayer. And can you tell us about that song?
I found this song. Pam found this song as I was looking for selections for my God and I album. And it was done as a bluegrass song. And of course, we don't do bluegrass music, but it was something that I could adapt for Western music. And so I really love it and don't sing it a whole lot, but I think the message is just incredible. It is called A Living Prayer. And that's
well,
what
let's
we all
listen
need
to it right
is
now.
A living prayer.
To live that prayer. That's right. Thank you for being with us, Judy. And let's listen to A Living Prayer.
Thank you.
With no place to call my home, but there's one who holds my hand, the rugged road through barren lands. The way is dark, the road is steep, please be calm, my eyes to see, the strength to climb, my griefs to bear. Savior lives inside me there. In your love I find relief, a haven from my unbelief. Take my life and let me be a living prayer, my God, to thee. Another voice inside my mind. He comforts me and bids me live inside the love the Father gives. In your love I find relief, a haven from my unbelief. Take my my God, to thee. Take my life and let me be a living prayer, my God, to thee.
Oh, I just love Judy. It's so fun having her on the show today. And she has become such a precious friend over the years. And as I've spent time with her, I've become more and more impressed with how much of herself she gives and does for others. I'm sure there are things that she does for herself and indulgences that she allows herself. But by and large, from what I've seen, she's much more invested in what kindness or service she can extend to others. And talk about the fruit of the Spirit being manifest. She truly has a servant heart. That's our Judy. And while I do believe it is necessary for us to take care of ourselves and be prudent and responsible, it is in giving and serving that we truly align ourselves with our precious Savior. In Mark 10:45, we are told, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So gosh, just think about it. The very Son of God came to this earth to give and serve and sacrifice for each and every one of us. He's provided for us. He's given himself wholly and even made the supreme sacrifice of allowing himself to be beaten for our iniquities and transgressions and for our healing. The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. And then he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross and endure and suffer a torturous death to take away our sins, that we may live with him forever in heaven. And after all he has done for us, he simply asks us to honor him and his sacrifice by emulating his love and service to others. Send a loving attitude, the action of service and giving to each other. And the word tells us in Hebrews 6:10, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. So quite literally, he tells us that we show our love for him by helping and giving of ourselves and our treasure to his people. And you know what the really cool thing is? You just can't outgive God. When you give of yourself and of the material things the Lord has blessed you with, he'll turn around and bless you right back through someone else. But the Lord takes it a step further. He tells us in one of my favorite scriptures, Luke 6:38, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down,
shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So kind of how I envision that scripture. Now, I love to cook. And as I read this scripture, I can visualize myself scooping up a cup of flour and giving it to my friend because they need it. Then the Lord impresses one of my friends to give me a cup of flour. Only this time, they don't just scoop up a cup of flour and give it to me. They shake it till it settles in the cup. Then they add more on top. Then they press it down hard, which makes room for even more. And they fill it up and shake it and press it again until they can't squeeze another smidgen of flour in that cup. And then they give it to me. There's probably twice as much flour in that cup than the one I had given away. So the more you give, especially with joy and abandon, the more blessings will be poured into your life in ways that you can't even dream about. Well, that's our show for today. I am so delighted that y'all could join us. Thank you for giving us the gift of your time. Thank you again to our very special guest, Judy James, for sharing a bit of herself with us today. And of course, always a huge thank you to my amazing producer, Gary Holt, for all he does behind the scenes to make this show happen. And please remember that all of the fabulous shows on Equestrian Legacy Radio are archived for you to listen to at your convenience. And you can even take us on the go with you with our nifty mobile app. And so if you like our shows, please spread the word and like us on Facebook and tell your friends about us. Thank you again for joining us today. And until next week, may all your trails be blessed.
A dusty old coyote was busy drinking from a cool rolling river, and when it had enough, he said, "I thank you, river. I swear I was so dry. If it were not for you, I do believe I would have died." But the river whispered softly as it leaned against the bank, "I'm glad that I could help, but I'm not the one to thank. You see, I'm only a river. I'm not the one to pray. I'm only a channel of the good and gentle rain. I can only carry what I have received. Love's living water. Anyone can drink for free."
Well, the grateful old coyote is a lot like me and you. Sometimes we don't give credit where it is really due. So if tonight you find that somehow something good has come from something that I said or did or some old song I've sung, you can rest assured that any quenching of your thirsty soul is all because of something much greater than us both. 'Cause I'm only a river, I'm not the one to praise. I'm only a channel of the good and gentle rain, and I can only carry what I have received. Love's living water. Anyone can drink for free. Love's living water. You and I can drink for free.
Hey, it's
Let's flow. And this is my impression of a drill instructor directing a musical.
Town Hut! Get those tap heels in line and let me see those jazz hands! Are you bundling your home and auto insurance through Progressive? Can you hear me through those sequins?
Bundle your home and auto through Progressive and save.
Left, 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 and step ball change.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company Affiliates. Home insurance provided and serviced by other select insurers.